Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Brian Callahan just wrapping up his press conference, and they are on the field in pads today. Titans training camp, tune in for player interviews, the latest updates on the Titans training camp as the team preps for the 2025 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Macero in 12 South and Parman Energy Group. Joey just wrapped up Brian Callahan's press conference. We have a beautiful illustration that you're giving our audience on our YouTube stream and our Twitter stream as well.
Look at that. Oh, yeah.
Game face.
Look at that. Get your game face on.
Pads are coming on today. Goodness. Pads are coming on today. Anything in particular stand out to you from Brian Callahan's press conference that just wrapped up?
He was late.
He was late.
And then, do you find symbolism like a James Joyce poem in your offsides? Archie!
I love how PK saved that to the last question, too. He's like, oh, since we're still here, you find any symbolism in your squad jumping offsides immediately in the stadium?
Can we talk about how much you suck? We haven't talked about that.
And outrageous.
One thing that stood out as someone brought up on the YouTube chat, TD's pushing the Cameron Ward thing.
He is.
TD's saying Cam. Everybody else is saying Cam. Cam, Cam, Cam. TD's saying Cameron, Cameron, Cameron.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
I mean, we don't need this. We still don't know who's. How do you say UC Soros' last name? Mariota. We went Mariota for years and years. I just want to try to fix this and figure it out. Let's all agree on something. So he's available tomorrow, right? I think that's right.
I believe that is correct.
Someone needs to just say, do you prefer Cam or Cameron? And then go with it.
I want to say he's been asked that at some point, and I think he said he doesn't really care. But we need him to nail it down.
No. You can't say I don't care. I mean, I understand you don't want to come off like you must call me. But it's just like, what would you prefer? You're not mandating that we call you a certain name. Just what would you prefer? And then everybody should do it. I mean, if it's Cameron, I'm trying to think. How many quarterbacks in the NFL go by like their full name as opposed to their shortened first
Patrick
name?
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, there you go. His dad was Pat.
Russ and Russell.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Russ Wilson. Could be Russ.
Russell instead of Russ.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. There's a couple right there.
Happens all over the place.
I'm trying to think. Who else would you have out there? Jared, Aaron. No. We don't have Joshua Allen.
No.
I guess Drake, but I mean, if the full name is a one syllable, then that doesn't really count, right?
Yeah,
we're not going Joseph Burrow.
We could go Dakota. Too bad we're not going for Dak there.
Dakota Prescott. He really should switch.
Is that his name?
I think so.
I honestly never knew that. His name is Dakota.
I think so.
I think it's like Dakota Rain or something like that.
I never knew that. That is interesting.
Matthew Stafford?
We don't go.
Matthew,
we don't go
Stafford? Yeah.
Matthew. There you go. Matthew instead of Matt.
Dak
Some people say Matt Stafford, but for the most part, he goes by Matthew Stafford.
Dak Prescott's name is Rain Dakota.
Oh, it's Rain Prescott. Dakota. Okay, yeah. I had it backwards.
Okay. Rain Dakota Prescott.
Interesting. I guess, if Jackson Dart becomes, he could be Jax because it's Jaxon, but he's Jackson.
We got to get to the bottom of it. What does he want to be called? Cameron or Cam?
Why the heck am I blanking on? Kirk. I don't know what would Kirk's Michael Penix, not Mike.
Yeah,
Michael, not Mike.
This is a more prevalent quarterback.
It is more prevalent.
Maybe we thought
we didn't have Thomas. Maybe Thomas Brady would have been even greater. He might have been.
He may have made your top 10 list for greatest quarterbacks of all time.
He might have. Brock is Brock's. I guess that's a whole
Brock's
name, right?
Is Brock.
There's not like a full name of Brock, right?
Yeah.
Brocklin, broccoli.
I don't think so.
Brock, right?
It's just Brock.
It's a couple of Joes that don't go by Joseph.
They don't go by Joseph. Yeah. So hey, whatever you want is fine, but just let's nail it down. Let's all do it. Because it sounds like TD's.
If he wants to be called Cameron. Sure. I have no problem calling him Cameron.
We'll do it. Let's get it going right now before he plays a game.
I agree.
And that's what it is, That's absolutely – I mean, he needs to be – like, look, just what's your preferences? You can't give an I don't care. Because obviously, I mean, TD did a big story on him for ESPN.com, talked to his family, all that stuff. You know, I assume maybe during that conversation there was I prefer – I mean, I remember I did a Josiah James story for The Athletic when he came in as a recruit a long time ago. And
they played Tennessee for 12 years.
Yeah, and everybody called him Josiah Jordan James. And I'm like, do you prefer that or just Josiah? He's like, yeah, just Josiah. His mom said the same thing. So I'm the only person – I would always write Josiah James. And everybody else would Josiah-Jordan James. I'm like, well, they told me.
Yeah.
But I guess that was another situation where we all should have agreed on something, right?
I agree.
Especially when you're going to have a college career that lasts a decade.
Yeah, if you're going to be in college for, you know, a quarter century, it's time to nail down what the name's going to be.
Yes.
What's he doing now, by the way?
That's a good question. I want to say that there was an overseas, but he had a lot of injuries too.
He did.
He was banged up. That's a good question. I don't know. I know
he's a player for the Indiana Mad Ants of the NBA G League.
Okay. Okay, there you go.
According to his Wikipedia overview.
So you're going from pro football from reference,
sports reference, which isn't good
all the time, apparently.
Apparently that.
Going right Wikipedia, go with them.
I'm going with that. It works out well.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Cam or Cameron Ward, a lot of buzz out there about him not getting buzz. What does that all mean? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
What is it about Cam that makes you confident if things get ugly, if this situation is really rough for him in the season, that his development won't be stunted, he'll be able to handle it anyways?
Yeah, playing quarterback in the NFL, I don't think there's any substitutes of playing quarterback. You know, there's so many things they learn when they play the game that you can't necessarily simulate and teach. That part of being in the fire is what helps quarterbacks get better faster. So I've always been a big believer in guys playing. That's how they improve. And so his demeanor gives me a ton of confidence that he can handle a rough spot or two. Because, look, it's the reality of quarterback playing a league and being a young player. Like, there's going to be ups and downs. It happens. But you see his demeanor, his heart rate never changes. He doesn't flinch when it comes to a mistake or two, and he just goes right back and does it again. And I think that's the makeup you have as an NFL quarterback, because, you know, every quarterback in the league throws interceptions, every quarterback in the league gets sacked, every quarterback in the league loses games, and so you have to battle through those moments, and the mindset and the makeup of the person is really what separates guys and being able to handle those things. So Cam has shown thus far that he's up to that task, and there's still things to come and still things he's going to have to deal with, but pleased with his ability to handle it so far.
That's Brian Callahan on Cam Ward, or Cameron Ward, and his ability to handle some adversity, which, as he points out, we're going to see at times this year. It's a young quarterback. It will be up and down. We'll see how he handles that process. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Volbeat and Hailstorm at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Saturday, August the 2nd, which is this Saturday. Be caller 2, 615-737-1025. Caller 2 will win a pair of tickets to see Volbeat and Hailstorm at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Saturday. Caller number 2, 615-737-1025. Joe, a lot of talk out there about Cam Ward being maybe the least discussed number one overall pick in recent memory. We've talked about that before here on the show. We've had a lot of callers, a lot of texters talk about how no one's talking about Cam Ward. And at The Athletic, Jacob Robinson has put out a story about, hey, what's going on with Cam Ward out there? And in that, talks about how, hey, no one's really talking about Cam Ward. There's a lot of discussion lately, Joe, about how Cam Ward is not being discussed. What do we make of all of this?
Well, here's a story about Cam Ward, talking about how nobody's talking about Cam Ward. I think we're starting to catch up a little bit with some people talking about Cam Ward. But one question Jacob brings up here is, says, has any quarterback drafted first overall seen such little media attention as Cam Ward? And he says, not this century. Even the relatively minimally heralded Alex Smith, 2005's number one pick, grace covers of magazine newspapers across the country. He points out that, you know, like Travis Hunter was on, you know, Sports Illustrated with a nice fishing trip with Pat Forty. He says this lack of publicity is on par with non-quarterbacks such as Trevon Walker, number one in 22, who was overshadowed by Aiden Hutchinson, which is an interesting point too. But in the meantime, that I think that we are getting, you know, we're starting to get some notice, some excitement, some hype, some buzz. We talked about it yesterday. He's probably one of two, right? I'm gonna not like Spencer Rattlers. If he's already losing out and is taking two's reps and Tyler Shuck's taking one's reps, I'm gonna say we're gonna be talking about two rookie quarterbacks on opening day.
I would agree.
But I mean, who's excited about Tyler Shuck? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. He played at freaking Louisville. Oh, sorry, Lamar Jackson. I apologize. And Johnny Unitas. That's pretty good. I mean, that right there, that's pretty good for your quarterback.
Johnny Unitas, Lamar Jackson, Jared Stillman. What a trio of that school.
And they've had some other good QBs over the years. Well, Teddy Bridgewater. How about that?
Yeah.
Not bad, actually. Now that I think about it. You know, another interesting, but something linked in this and I missed this. This actually goes back, I think, pre-draft. But 25 years of NFL history, and this is also by Jacob and Russini, you know, they do the Scoop City podcast. An interesting stat that I had not seen before, but of the 25 years, the first quarterback drafted in a particular draft, and maybe this isn't surprising, but the first quarterback drafted in a draft in this century, 40% of the time becomes the best of those quarterbacks, which I think is, is interesting. Now, of course, so you're talking, the exceptions would be like, oh God, there's some great exceptions. You know, for example, Mitch Trubisky is 17.
Manuel.
Yeah. EJ Manuel. Mitch Trubisky in 17. Patrick Mahomes was happened, you know, taken in that draft. Bryce Young. Well, these recent ones don't really matter too much. Blake Bortles in 14 was the first quarterback drafted. Derek Carr would be the best QB out of the draft. But 40% of the time, that's not bad. That's a decent success rate. Some people may not think that sounds very good, but I think that's actually a pretty good number.
Well, it's also included, like, for instance, Jameis Winston was the first quarterback taken in 2015, and they have determined that Jameis Winston was the best quarterback in that draft.
And that's a good point.
That does not speak strongly of that quarterback class.
That's right, because some of these classes are just bad. And so, by default, you are the best in the class. Matt Ryan in 08, great. You know, Matthew Stafford in 09, great. But, like, then the next year, that's 08, that's 09. The next year, Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's the best. So, Andrew Luck in 12, great. I mean, even Cam Newton, MVP season, got to the Super Bowl. Like, at this point, he's still fine. Yeah, that's still fine as your top guy. And, of course, Titans fans know well that in 2006,
yep,
the number one quarterback taken was Vince Young. The best quarterback out of that draft was Jay Cutler. Here's a good little piece of trivia for you. We know in 07, Jamarcus Russell won the all-time bust in the NFL. Have you read this already?
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Well, then I'll throw it out to the group. We all know that Jamarcus Russell would not be considered the best quarterback from the 2007 class. But who would be considered the
You'll
best
never
quarterback?
Guess.
First one on the text line to answer this correctly. I'm actually making posters of this Jared Stillman picture. So I will print one up for you and have him sign it. Okay.
What a prize.
Best quarterback in the 2007 class.
Yeah, you'll really go take a trip down memory lane.
That's truly amazing. Like you know, every other one is like at least
somebody you've heard of.
Yeah, I mean, my God, 0-2 though. David Carr and then David Garrard is the best one of that class.
Holy, hey, David Garrard had some moments for the Jags.
Duval.
Yeah.
Did he ever? So Cam Ward, I mean, he's getting, you know, Cam Ward is getting some hype. I mean, he made a couple nice throws the other day, and I saw a lot of reaction, including in this, to those couple of throws. People want to get excited about a number one pick, even not outside of Nashville. Like, the NFL wants to get excited about a number one pick.
Well, and look, if he comes out of the gate and is making some big plays early, it will garner some attention. Like, you know, I've talked about this. Really, regardless, and I understand, like, the Tennessee Titans are never going to get the same level of national media attention that the Cowboys get, or that, you know, the Steelers or the Pat, or any of these, you know, historically just iconic franchises. So I understand that. But like, how often were we talking about the Kansas City Chiefs before Mahomes got there? Like, they were a good team, and we were mainly talking about Andy Reid being the coach and not being able to win big games. And then Mahomes got there, and they're on TV every week, right? Like, they're on national TV all the time. So Cam Ward's a great player. The Titans are going to get their fill of discussion around the league. But he's got to be a great player first.
Yes, that would help. That's the rub right there. Weston Clarksville says, shouldn't this be a good thing? Maybe Cam won't feel as much pressure. Yeah, I don't know. Does that really matter? Like, if there's all this, I think there's a ton of pressure, and you know you're the number one pick, right? I mean, you're still already here. You're the guy at the podium. So I think you know the pressure of being that. But I do feel like, from all outside appearances, he seems like someone who can shrug that off pretty well.
Nobody has guessed the best quarterback.
I mean, I'm looking at the list, and I can't even figure it out. Yeah. Just looking at the list of quarterbacks.
I will tell you.
The best quarterback in 2007, according to this list.
I will tell you that Nathan from Lawrenceburg, and this is a guy I covered in college, you actually might be correct, and that this article may be wrong. Because he said Drew Stanton, who never was, you know, he started here and there. He was a good backup in the NFL for a long time. But I think that might compare favorably to the guy that they listed as the most successful quarterback, right?
I mean, the guy that they listed as the most successful quarterback, and I guess this will give it away if you really dig into the stats, but for his career, threw for 6,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 30 picks.
That's who they gave it to, huh?
I mean,
well, there's no really good option. Well, they're all terrible.
Okay. All right, let me look at Drew Stanton's career.
Stanton had, it's on here.
You know what the
2,000 yards less total.
You know, is that right? Okay. Yeah.
You know
all
what
right,
the
well,
nickname is for the nickname for the player. You know, Pro Football Reference does these nicknames.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Trevor Lawrence is the prince who was promised.
Yeah.
Brady's the Pharaoh and all that stuff.
Sure.
The nickname given for this specific player that we're talking about, who, according to this list at The Athletic, is the best quarterback in 2007 draft, Captain Checkdown.
I feel like that's been given to a few people.
Most yards in that draft, Kevin Cobb.
Yeah. Someone guessed Kevin Cobb. Someone guessed Engel Martin.
That class sucked.
It wasn't Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn was a different.
That was the same class.
Brady Quinn was the top drafted, right?
Other than Jamarcus, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yep. So actually, Brady Quinn is a good guess. Hey, look at this. Roy from Brentwood, Trent Edwards. There you
got
go.
It.
Best quarterback in the 07 class. My goodness.
Trent Edwards.
So you just never did. So being the top in your class isn't always that impressive. You got to look a little deeper.
Most people have not even heard of Trent Edwards around here.
Captain Checkdown. I think like there's some other Captain Checkdowns in history.
Captain
NFL,
Checkdown is what they've got. That's the only nickname for Trent Edwards on this list. We got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on the Titans next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, Nashville's original hot chicken, bursting with heat and flavor. There's nothing better than the original. For a limited time, grab half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Talking about the quarterbacks drafted in 07. A lot of bad quarterbacks on this list. People are talking about Troy Smith winning the Heisman Trophy in college football. Was that 07 when he did that?
No, Troy Smith won the Heisman Trophy, I believe, in 05.
05, okay.
So I guess the 07 quarterbacks are obviously the 06 season, but I don't think he won it in 06. I think he won it in 05. Check my work. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But
we'll find out.
I think that's right. I think Troy Smith was the 05 Heisman winner.
06.
Okay. Really? Yeah. Well, see? Good call. Chris Jenkins on the text line. I apologize. I'm actually pretty excited about being only 1 year off. It's actually quite a win for me. Thank you. Texter says, our national media is hyped for bad form, though. The one clip Pat McAfee showed at Cam Ward was him rolling left, throwing right across his body deep to Ridley. Is that not the type of play we don't want our QB to make? A deep crossbody throw is always talked about as the most susceptible throw to being an interception. Yeah, I mean some, but sometimes if you extend a play,
yeah,
right, and yeah, at that point sometimes you got guys who get separation, right? So it's one of those things where if you can extend a play, which by the way, that's, I know people got all over Dane Brugler on the, you know, bigger
Kyler Murray.
Bigger Kyler Murray, but that is the thing with Kyler Murray is he has the sense to extend plays and then he makes plays like that. So in general, I think you're right. That was a pretty good play. It was practice.
Yeah.
You know, and you also, in practice, you're supposed to be trying some things that you don't that you maybe wouldn't do in a game, things like that. Well, but I just thought that play was the extended a play, and he saw a guy, and he made a play. It was good.
There will be situations this year, I have no doubt about it, where he does something like that, and it works out great, and he makes a huge play down the field, whether it's a touchdown or not. And there are probably going to be a couple times this year where he's running for his life, extending a play, and he tries something across the body, and it ends up as a pick six the other way, right? Like, you're going to have to deal with that as you're talking about a rookie quarterback here. And you hope at the end of the day, as you look back on the totality of the season, that the good outweighs the bad and that he's making progress. But, yeah, like that throw he made the other day at Nissan Stadium, I said it yesterday, it's the type of throw that you expect the number one overall pick to make from time to time.
Yeah.
So you're going to see that this year from Cam Moore. I have no doubt. You will see him make some incredible throws, and you're probably going to see a few times where he tries to make a throw like that and it ends up in a total disaster.
Yeah, like I think one of the big highlights he had of last year was that play against Florida where he escapes a pocket, he's drifting left, he throws it's not technically across his body, it's like, but it's throwing sort of the other way for a touchdown, which was a hell of a play. Also, it's a play where you watch it and you're like, see, in the NFL, that might well be a pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the guys in coverage, that might end up being a pick. But it was a great play. So you expect him to make some big broken plays. And then, you know, Callahan addressed today some of the picks over the middle and things like that that some of the linebackers have been getting on some stuff. And so you just hope you learn from those things and get better and have fewer of those mistakes.
Well, and, you know, the pads go on today at training camp. So it's the first semi-real look of offensive linemen taking on defensive linemen and what that's going to look like. Now, you heard Callahan in his press conference talk about the one-on-ones there and how that's not necessarily a great reflection of what pass protection looks like on the one-on-one drills, which I understand. But, you know, a first part of the offensive line with the pads coming on to really get the cohesion going and to look like they've got a clue by the time week one rolls out there. You know, he mentioned Corey Levin. You know, there's no telling when Lloyd Cushenberry is going to be ready and is going to play at this point. So, in the meantime, how well can Corey Levin play at the center position? And how much of a limitation will that be, not having your starting center if he's not, if Cushenberry is not able to go in the first few weeks of the season here?
Yeah, to me that thing is just, you just have to look at it right now. Like, Corey Levin's your starter. You got to have as much comfort as possible with him and Cam. You got to have as much comfort as possible with both guards and the whole operation. He is a veteran. Sure, he can handle the mental aspects of it. There's a pretty big drop-off from Cushenberry at his best 11, but it's like Cushenberry is like a early season trade acquisition, and you upgrade your line. To me, that's how you have to look at it. I'm sure he badly wants to play against his old team in the opener, but
yep.
I don't know. I think Achilles stuff obviously has changed a lot, just like a lot of medical stuff. ACLs used to be so different than they are now. Achilles injuries are getting more like that, but still feels like with a big guy, you're asking a lot.
I would agree. And, I mean, really the question is, when's he going to be ready? Is it going to be week two? Is it going to be week seven? Like, when is Cushenberry going to be healthy and available and ready to go? I don't know. Like, that's a big part of the offensive line being at the level that you hope it's going to be at some point this year. And in the meantime, look, I don't think Lloyd Cushenberry is the straw that stirs the drink to the offensive line. Like, they need Dan Moore to be good. They're paying Dan Moore a lot of money. They need him to be good at left tackle. They need J.C. Latham to be really good. They need the two tackle spots
to really solidify this thing. But, you know, if Levin is a disaster at center, obviously that's going to be a big problem for your offensive line. So hopefully he won't be. But in the meantime, like how long is it going to be before Cushenberry is number one back and number two back at full capacity?
Yeah, it's a good question. You hope that like the season's still viable at that point. Dennis says, this time of year is crazy on social media. People posting videos of QBs in training camp with comments like there's no other QB. Two or three guys in the world can make this throw. Remember, go back to Will Levis and the one of the TDs he threw on his big Billie Jean's day. It was incredible. Shedeur Sanders, everybody tells me he doesn't have arm talent. Go watch the throw he made to beat Baylor. It was basically a Hail Mary, but it was kind of not quite. It wasn't a traditional Hail Mary. Actually, it was throwing to one guy on a line. Tell me who can make that throw. I mean, every one of these guys better be able to make throws like that at times.
Go watch Zach Wilson's pro day. I mean, that one throw he made in pro day was like, oh, how many guys in the league can make this throw? Like,
the
a lot of them.
Throw
like,
he made against the Titans to Corey Davis that one.
Yeah, like once you start listing out the quarterbacks in the NFL, you find out pretty quickly there's a lot of quarterbacks that can make these throws.
And even the ones who can't, you know one who can't make those throws? I'll give you two who I've never seen throws that are like, oh, my God. Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff.
Yeah.
But you know what they do? They hit the strike zone every time. That's what matters most.
Exactly. So, look, it's great that Cam Ward can make those type of plays. And, look, if you're going to have a little bit of special to you, you have to be able to make some of those plays. And now, you know, I think, as I said yesterday, the ability to make some of those plays with him, I think, is going to be a given. He's going to make some. He's also going to make some mistakes when he does that. But what you just said is probably what I care about the most. How often can Cam Ward, when you've got something available to you, how often can he just hit it over and over again? And that's,
make the quick decision. Go to your second read quick.
That's such a big part of playing quarterback. Like, yeah, you want him to make some Mahomes plays and some Josh Allen plays. And, you know, if you're trying to compete with those guys in the AFC, you're going to need some of that. But the biggest thing I want to see from Cam Ward this year is – when there's a play available to be made, can you make it over and over and over again? Can you do that?
No question. Go watch. I've watched Joe Burrow games. Joe Burrow makes some amazing throws too. But I've watched Joe Burrow games where it's basically it's like balls up, right on target. Balls out, right up, quick. Okay, second option, right on target, right on target. The Bengals, I mean, over the middle, short passing, run after the catch, huge part of that offense, which of course is this offense. So, yeah, there's going to be vertical stuff too, and that matters. But that's it. Seeing it quickly, diagnosing correctly, and then you put the ball in the strike zone.
615.
It's boring, but it's what matters most.
You know what's not boring? Moving the football. That's not boring.
That's true.
That's you know, the Titans hadn't done a whole lot of that the last few years. That's not boring. Let's move the football up and down the field and put some points on the board. That's to me pretty exciting. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We will do that rapid fire styled. Coming up next. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinitix's Rock the Cradle. This event sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. You can get your tickets at rockthecradlenashville.org. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game at the Holiday Inn Nashville Airport this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. for the Dude Perfect Inspired Open House. We'll be on site giving away Dude Perfect tickets and Nashville Sounds family 4-packs, plus games, prizes, and body armor as well. That's coming up this Sunday from 1 to 5. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, one texter, Joe, says the great QB evaluator, Stillman, said Ward is throwing too many picks in practice and has to clean that up. What do we think of that? I mean, look, you don't want to see your quarterback throwing picks. And particularly, I think, you know, and Callahan addressed this in the press conference a few minutes ago, where the picks are coming, right? He's throwing them over the middle of the field to the linebackers. And Callahan talked about, like, learning in the NFL that you can't really throw the ball over guys. Like, it's a really hard thing to do because of just the depth that the linebackers play at and their ability to go up and get the football. So, you know, I think that's something clearly Cam Ward is trying to learn and grow through in camp. I'd rather him do that in camp and get it out of the way and learn that. And by the time week one rolls around, maybe he's more prepared for that. You're going to see him make some mistakes. Look, he's going to throw some picks this year, guys. Like, Cam Ward is going to get fooled by a defense every now and then. He's a rookie quarterback. He's going to throw some picks. So I'm not, like, panicking about that right now. You know, if we get deeper into camp and he's still throwing picks over the middle of the field to the linebacker, then that's probably something to be concerned about heading into the year.
Yeah. I'd almost be concerned, like, if there were, like, no picks.
Like Marcus his first year?
Then we'd be talking Captain Checkdown. See, that's Captain Checkdown. Okay. Captain Checkdown is never take any rest, never try to get into those tight windows, go with the easy stuff and just see if you can get 3 yards and 4 yards and 3 yards. You know, let it rip, man. Let it rip a little bit. Yeah, obviously you don't want it to be lack. There we go. Lack of recognition picks. You know, and sometimes, I think Callahan talked about it, James Williams making a great play. I mean, that happens too. So
I think Marcus went like 14 practices without an interception his rookie.
As a rookie?
Yeah.
And then he came out with
it's
a
like,
perfect.
My gosh.
Then he came out.
This guy's unbelievable.
With a perfect QB rating in his first game. He's going to be the greatest quarterback. I was so excited for Marcus. The Titans quarterbacks, just as a general NFL fan, I was so excited for Vince Young and for Marcus. Not for Jake Locker.
No Locker?
Not for Jake Locker, necessarily. No. I thought that was one of the worst picks I'd ever seen. Like, guys, you not watch this guy play in college? He can't throw. He has a big arm. You can't know where he's throwing it. He's a hell of a athlete. Great linebacker.
You know, Jake Locker's only 37 years old. He could theoretically still be playing football for the Titans right
now.
That's
wild.
Had that worked out.
Well, he should have switched to linebacker early. Did you see, by the way, speaking of linebackers, I just thought of whenever I really get the Jake Locker, I do think of Will Levis. I do draw that parallel a bit. Did you see the post from Levis last night?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, he showed like the huge lump in his shoulder, like, or what, you know, the bone sticking. It was awful. It was like, this is the last time I have to deal with this anymore. Like, gee, I guess
gross.
The shoulder was a mess. But again, it's like, I mean, just get it fixed. I don't know. Whatever.
Jake Locker's it's last fine. Year at Washington.
It's fine.
He completed 55.4% of his passes.
Right.
It's not very good.
No, I mean, you watch him play and say, like, oh, man, he makes some big plays sometimes. He's a great athlete. Run the ball. Now, you know, this some of the same stuff was said about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Coming out of college.
Now, again, I'm on Sports Reference. So I have to make sure these stats are right.
Yeah, that's true. It really bothers me. I need to consider that gospel. So, I don't know what my thought was. I had a thought there. And
Josh Allen's last year at
lost
Wyoming.
Thought. That's lost.
Well, Josh Allen's last year at Wyoming, he completed 56.3% of his passes.
Yeah, again, at Wyoming, so he's not playing the highest level of competition. That I don't know that there'll ever be a situation quite like Josh Allen in this league.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's so clear that all the knocks against the quarterback were exactly dead on. And that he would be a total bust, and then he's a great player.
Well, and coupled with that, like the first 2 years, it looked like he was well on the way to being a total bust.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, but like early on, it's like clear.
Yeah, like, you know, even coming out of college, like there was some yellow flags there where you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, all the criticisms proved to be exactly correct, and then all of a sudden he just – they just –
he's unstoppable.
Like Lamar Jackson, right away, you're like, a lot of the stuff people saying about him coming out of college proved to be really dumb. Some stuff on this station, proved to be just way off. Although he's also gotten a lot better since then.
Yes.
But Josh Allen was like, oh my God, this guy's bad.
Josh Allen's first year, he completed 52.8% of his passes. You know how hard that is to do in the NFL? 52.8.
It's so bad.
Ugh.
You know, he he'll be forever the, you can't improve your accuracy. Yeah. It's just not, but it's like, well, but he'll be that outlier who people use as an example. But really, he'll be an outlier.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
For the most part.
I mean, hopefully Cam Ward, pretty accurate early on. I mean, look, we talk about accuracy with Cam Ward. He was pretty accurate in college, right? Like, I mean, he wasn't perfect, but I mean, I'm pulling up his stats from last year. He had 67.2% completion percentage. It's pretty good. Now, how much? Like, I didn't watch every snap he played, and I'm sure there are some bubble screens in there, and those always elevate, you know, jet sweeps and all that stuff. But 67.2%, pretty good.
Yeah, all completion percentage. It's definitely, you know, not created equally. That's why that stat in tandem with yards per attempt is a really good. That's an important. Those are
which,
two
by the way,
important
was 9.5 for Cam Ward last year.
So there you go. Good. That's those are two numbers that are okay. that's a big-time talent. Not a big-time talent. I would have taken number one overall.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people would have taken number one.
You would have gone to a different Cam, who apparently is just tearing up New York Giants camp. Cam Scatabin.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. Is he going as Cameron?
I don't know.
Is anybody calling him Cameron Scatabin? I need to know.
Is he who's going to rush for more yards this year, Scatabin or Ashton Jeanty? Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good question. Boy, I really
like it. Is it a good question?
I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be Ashton Jeanty. He is pretty freaking great. But Scatabu's going to do some damage.
Scatabin will come in just under 1,700 yards this rookie year.
We'll see. Yeah, everybody's going to find out about Cam. That Cam. There's a Cam here. There's other Cams. That's a good Cam, too.
Titans are in pads today. Rex Rhodes headed to practice. He'll have a full report tomorrow. That's going to do it for us today on the program. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.